So this is prose rather than poetry, so I'll just read the prose text, and then we'll do the word-by-word translations. Yo saum agavati sarva bhutatmani anatmaye anurukte anilayanhe paramatmane vasudeve handanya nimitta bhakti yoga lakshana nana gati nimitta vidya granti randana dharena yadahi maha purusha purusha pasangaha. Okay, please repeat. Yaha, anyone who, asau, that, Bhagavati, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarva bhuta atmani, the super soul of all living entities, anatmye, having no attachment, anirukte, who is beyond the mind and speech, anilayane,
not dependent on anything else,
paramatmani, unto the Supreme Soul, Vasudeva, Lord Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. Ananya, without any other. Nimitta, cause. Bhakti Yoga Lakshana, having symptoms of pure devotional service. Nana Gati, of varied destinations. Nimitta, the cause. Avidya Kranti, the bondage of ignorance. Rundhana, of cutting. Varena, by means. Yada, when. He, indeed. Mahapurusha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusha, with a devotee. Prasangaha, an intimate relationship. The translation, after many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which has bound him because of varied fruitive activities. As a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudeva, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world beyond the mind and words, and independent of everything else. That bhakti yoga devotional service to Lord Vasudeva is the real path of liberation. You can repeat, after many, many births.
After many, many births.
When the results of one's pious activities mature.
When the results of one's pious activities mature.
One gets an opportunity.
One gets an opportunity.
To associate with pure devotees.
To associate with pure devotees.
Then one is able to cut.
Then one is able to cut.
The knot of bondage to ignorance.
The knot of bondage to ignorance.
Which bound him.
Which bound him.
Because of varied fruitive activities.
Because of varied fruitive activities.
As a result of associating with devotees.
As a result of associating with devotees.
One gradually renders service.
One gradually renders service.
To Lord Vasudeva.
Who is transcendental.
Free from attachment,
to the material world.
Beyond the mind and words.
And
independent of everything else.
That bhakti yoga.
Devotional service to Lord Vasudeva.
Is the real path of liberation.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Brahman realization is the beginning of liberation, and Paramatma realization is still further advancement toward the realm of liberation. But one achieves real liberation when he understands his position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Muktir In the material world, in the bodily concept of life, everyone is working in the wrong direction. When one becomes Brahma-bhuta, spiritually realized, one understands that he is not the body and that working in the bodily concept of life is useless and misdirected. Then his devotional service begins, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 54, Brahma Bhutta Prasanatma Nashochitina Kangshati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhaktim Labhate Puram. One who is thus transcendentally situated realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Devotional service is actual liberation. When one is attracted by the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mind is always engaged in the Lord's, at the Lord's lotus feet, he is no longer interested in subjects that do not help him in self-realization. In other words, he loses all attraction for material activities. In the Tattatriya Upanishad 2.7, it is said, Esha yeva nanjayati yada yivaisha itasmin adrishyase natmye anirupte nilava yone boyam pati apratishtam vindate ta so vayam gato bhavati. A living entity becomes established in spiritual blissful life when he fully understands his happiness depends on spiritual self-realization, which is the basic principle of ananda or bliss. And when he is eternally situated in the service of the Lord, who has no other Lord above him. So, Om Ganatha Varanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurin Meditam Yena Tismai Shri Gurave Namaha. So one thing you may notice, when we read the Sanskrit and the translations of the individual words and also the translation, that Srila Prabhupada's translation has many points in it that are not actually in the Sanskrit. Did anyone notice that? I mean, like for example, it talks about after many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, there's nothing in there that talks about many, many births in the actual Sanskrit or in the word-by-word translations. Now, so what do you do about this? You understand that Srila Prabhupada is actually giving a purported translation. This is Srila Prabhupada's greatness, that he can take the actual translation, even apart from the purport, and enhance the translation so that we have a further understanding of the actual verse. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's Srila Prabhupada's like ecstatic. Srila Prabhupada even said his purports are his ecstatic manifestations. And Prabhupada at one point said the purports are more important than the verses, which is interesting. Because they're Prabhupada's realization. In other words, and now here you see the translation is also Prabhupada's realization. So Prabhupada is pointing out here, both in the translation and the purport, that the secret of success is association with devotees. Prabhupada felt it such an important point that he added that to the translation and the purport. And we know that is actually a fact, of course. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this, that bhakti, it's interesting, we had a discussion yesterday with, apart from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we had a discussion yesterday with a very nice Indian man who's perhaps a potential donor or perhaps arranging for potential donations for our temple. And he was basically talking about detachment and dharma and, of course, Hinduism and everything like that. And I made the point that the ultimate point is bhakti. Because from bhakti, you actually get detachment. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Yasu Bhairangyam Yanacha Yad Ahuitakam. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, by rendering devotional service unto Vasudeva, and here this word Vasudeva is used here. Actually, Vasudeva means the all-pervading personality of God who is in charge of everything. That's the meaning of the word Vasudeva. And it's pronounced differently than Vasudeva, who is the father of Krishna. So by devotional service rendered to Vasudeva Bhagavati, unto Bhagavati, means unto the Supreme Personality. Bhakti Yoga. Now, Bhakti Yoga is very interesting because it's not simply some Vedic ritual. Bhakti Yoga means to initially practice serving the Lord without any desire. It's interesting. We perform Vaidhi Bhakti. And Vaidhi Bhakti is practice, but also it's not just external practice. It's practicing giving up your desires and serving the Lord without desire. You know, if you just take it externally, then that's not really the essence of Bhakti Yoga or Vaidhi Bhakti. The essence of Vaidhi Bhakti is to, of course, do your external stuff and at the same time cultivate a mood of pure devotion. You have to do two things. Like Prabhupada said, devotional service is executed with the subtle body. And the subtle body means the mind, intelligence. And of course, you don't execute devotional service with a false ego, but with a real ego. So there has to be a mood of not just detachment. Detachment in and of it, by itself really isn't helpful. It just makes one dry and bitter. You know, if you just cultivate detachment without love of Krishna, without a desire to please Krishna, anyabhi lashita shunyam gyanakaram anavartam anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, then you just become very bitter. And ultimately, you want to engage again in material activities. And we saw this yesterday, speaking to this nice gentleman, a very nice gentleman, and he was talking about how we're just... He was presenting actually something very similar to the Vedic, one of the Vedic understandings, which is atomism, like Kannada, presenting atomism. We're just atoms, we're just molecules, and ultimately we have to become detached. And he didn't even mention anything about the soul until I mentioned it. And I said, well, actually bhakti is the goal of, you know, Hinduism. Of course, I wanted to speak his particular language, so I said, you know, that's actually the goal, it's bhakti. And that just went over his head. Bhakti. He was just talking about dharma and becoming detached from this world, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And it turns out that the majority of the activities this particular individual is executing it are charitable activities, which is all right. I mean, this is, you know, pious. He's opening up hospitals and doing different things like that. And it's actually a perfect example of what Srila Prabhupada said, that the impersonalists, or those who are aspiring for liberation, aruyukachena param padam, they ultimately come down to this world and then they engage in charitable activities and pious activities like that, because they are in the mode of goodness. So that's the natural inclination. Whereas bhakti is actually transcendental to that. I don't want to decry charitable activities. In fact, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have many branches of our movement that execute charitable activities, like Food for Life. We were talking about this last night in the Sunday program, where we distribute prasadam. But it's not just mundane charity, it's spiritual charity. Because people who take prasadam, let's say this Food for Life program, and we're distributing food, those people will actually eventually become devotees, because we're starting their devotional path by giving them Bhagavad Prasadam. So anyway, it was an interesting discussion. Very, very interesting discussion. The person was quite intelligent, but I could see that he didn't understand the point of bhakti. So it's Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. One that follows this path of bhakti, beginning with Vaidhi Bhakti, then after that there's Raghunuga Bhakti, which is also sadhana or practice, and then after this there's Bhava Bhakti, and then after that there's Prema Bhakti. One follows that path, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati Asu Vairagyam. Then automatically he becomes liberated. Liberation means, you know, vairagya. Vairagya means not interested in passion, trying to enjoy the material world. If you analyze this word, vairagya, like we have this rajaguna. Rajaguna is the mode of passion. Vairagya means without passion to try to, or desire to enjoy the material world. It's like the word vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. Vai means without. So the spiritual world, it's interesting, that's a negative definition of the spiritual world. When you say the Vaikuntha planets, that's defining the planets as to what they are not. In a sense, a negative definition. There's actually Paravyoma, that's a transcendental realm. That's also a certain relationship to the material world. You know, it's interesting how many of the definitions even of the spiritual world are in relationship to the material world, isn't it? Paravyoma, that means the transcendental sky, that means something which is beyond this. And so Vaikuntha also. So anyway, so let's get back to the point. Vairagya means without any desire to enjoy, and that actually takes away the suffering. Lord Buddha understood this too. In his teachings, he says material existence is suffering, and suffering is due to attachment. That's the second basic principle of Lord Buddha. Third principle is get rid of the attachment, and no more suffering. And, of course, the fourth principle was, by following the Eightfold Path, you know, right living, right thinking, etc., like that, then one can give up attachment. But we don't really see that at least the application that the so-called Buddhists make and, as far as the Eightfold Path doesn't lead them to detachment. Because they don't have this concept. At least most of them don't have the concept of bhakti. Of course, if they try to love Buddha, that is a sort of beginning of bhakti. You know, the love of Buddha, wanting to serve Buddha, etc. It's a trick. Srila Prabhupada said, or explained, that Lord Buddha was very, very tricky in that he preached voidism, but at the same time, he encouraged people to love him. I mean, there's no statements that Lord Buddha made, don't love me. You know, actually he encouraged people. And you see statues of Lord Buddha all over the place. If you go to Thailand, there's a statue of Lord Buddha made of pure gold, practically half the height of this room. I mean, I saw it, I wanted to take a piece of it because it's gold. There was guards there. And there's a statue of Lord Buddha that's twice the length of this room. Anyone here been to Thailand? Seen that statue? Yes, you've seen that. I mean, you can circumambulate. It's like circumambulating a football field. He's lying down. Lord Buddha's lying down. So that's sort of a trick. I mean, to get people who are actually impersonalists or voidists, let's say, to be more precise, to have some love or devotion. Because love is actually the strongest force. I mean, that's really the propensity that supersedes every other propensity, even within the material world. I mean, you find when people are in love, they actually forget about eating or sleeping or even driving their car properly. I mean, it's just simply amazing. And you see that this, of course, the love in this world, it is actually mixed, but the closest thing to the pure love you see manifest in the love that a mother has for the child. It's interesting, I was out observing people at funerals, something which I don't normally do, but I was observing people at funerals, and you see that the mother, if it's a young child or a child that passes away, the mother is practically the only person who is crying for the child. Everyone else is crying for themselves. You know, what will I do without my husband? You know, he's made me, give me so much money, give me so much sense gratification. I'm going to be all alone without him. But the mother is not, is simply thinking, what will happen with my child, and crying for the welfare of the child. I mean, that's real love. That's bhakti. Almost bhakti. Prabhupada says the closest thing to pure love in this world. So, anyway, so, bhakti yoga prayojita, and janayati asu vairagyam. One gets automatic detachment from this world. And gyanam cha yod hoitukam. And causeless hoitu, hetu means with a cause, ahetu means without a cause. So one gets knowledge too, revealed to one within the heart. The dami buddhi yogam tam yena mam vyapati. And Krishna of course says that in Gita, that's one of the nutshell verses. tesham satata yuktanam, bhajate pratipurvakam, one who worships me with love, then dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam upayantite. It's not exactly like theoretical knowledge. That sort of knowledge one can't get simply by reading even spiritual literature. That knowledge one gets by bhakti or devotion. And it's interesting, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw this illiterate Brahmin who was reading or attempting to read the Bhagavad Gita and crying, Lord Chaitanya said, "You are the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita," because he was understanding the essential bhav in the Gita. The bhav in the Gita is basically that Krishna has become the servant of his devotee. Prabhupada tells the story. Isn't that amazing? That God becomes, you never hear about that anywhere else in any other religion or any other philosophy, that God actually becomes a driver, the sarati of his devotee. I mean, even there was one Hollywood film that tried to show that. It was a Bag of Vance or something like that, that showed someone who was a so-called God, who wasn't God actually, becoming the caddy. You know what a caddy is? No, for those of you who don't play golf, that means someone who carries your clubs for you. So Lord Chaitanya said, you're the real knower of the Gita because you have this bhakti, and the proof that you have this bhakti is you understand the bhav or the emotion. See, that's really the essence of bhakti is bhav or emotion. Not material emotion, you know, not what a bhava sagara, the ocean of material emotions. But the bhavs, the vibhav, the anubhav, the sattvika bhav, and like we see is exhibited in the lives of all these great devotees. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he first saw Lord Jagannath, he exhibited vyabhachari bhav, and also, of course, mahabhav, and in which he practically was not only unconscious, but practically not even breathing, just breathing very, very little. So this is actually the proof of devotion is the bhav. And this bhav leads to detachment from the material world. Let's analyze, this is also in line with what Prabhupada talked about, that after many, many births, and when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance. So, why did this person who had the bhav, I mean, that's an interesting statement, he had the bhav. Anyway. So, of course, not that we should exhibit so much bhav while we're giving Bhagavatam class. But anyway, so why did this person really have the bhav? I mean, have the understanding. Why did he have, what's the secret? The secret was that he took association with his spiritual master in the right way. In other words, what was the right way? Faith. That he had implicit faith in the words of his guru. It wasn't impossible, Gurudev, I'm illiterate. Because his guru told him, read the Bhagavad Gita. And like Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So this particular disciple, you know, the person who was reading the Gita, who was illiterate, who was just thumbing through the pages, feeling the bhav, this particular person just said, you know, it's the order of my guru. Success potency is there. He wasn't questioning. What does Krishna say? For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this life or in the next. And also, another verse, Sharadana Purusha Dharma Shasha Prantapa Aparapyamam Nivartante Amritu Samsara Vartmani. In the Gita, Krishna says, that person, a Sharadana Purusha, that person who doesn't have faith, Shraddha means faith, a Sharadana Purusha, the person, Dharma Shasha Prantapa, almighty armed Arjuna, in the process of devotional service, which the essence of the process is the order of the guru. That's the essence of the process. I mean, that's this very secret. Yasya Prasada Bhagavad Prasada. So if one doesn't have that faith in the process, because the bhakti yoga basically means, I mean, if you have to distill it down to an essence, the application given by the guru, that's bhakti yoga. I mean, nowadays people have become so sophisticated, they pick and choose from the Vedic literatures as to their own application. We were discussing this over the internet, actually, as far as Gopashtami. Everyone's heard of Gopashtami? Gopashtami is the day that Krishna actually started to take care of the cows. He grew up old enough. He was old enough. And his father said, it's your turn. It's like Krishna's bar mitzvah or something. You got to... Anyway, that's an ethnic joke. So now you can take care of the cows. So we were discussing about Gopashtami, like what do you do with the deities? I mean, in some temples they actually may dress Krishna. I dress Radharani as a coward boy. You heard that before?
Yeah.
And then we did a lot of research. We consulted one of my godbrothers, Gorkeshwar, who's quite expert in, and also he's an expert in South Indian stuff too, as well as Gaudiya Vaishnava. And it turns out that Prabhupada never really gave the instruction to do that. And so, you know, I wrote to some of the temples in my zone and said, don't do that. Don't show Radharani's feet on that particular day. And some of the people were upset. Well, the devotees are upset. We're used to it, etc., like that. But the point being, one should err on the side of safety. You know, Prabhupada didn't say to do that. And it, the point is that nowadays the people are getting very, very sophisticated in the Krishna consciousness movement, and not sometimes that sophistication means not accepting the simple stuff that Srila Prabhupada gave us. I mean, I was speaking to another god brother, and he was telling me so many stories in the Vedic literature, and then I asked him a question from the Bhagavatam, and he basically didn't know it. I mean, he's a very well-known god brother. And I was thinking, you know, people really need to connect with Prabhupada. I was talking about that as far as my Vyas Puja homage, which I gave at the palace in Govardhan. We have an ISKCON palace, a very nice program we had. So we connect with Prabhupada and we satisfy Prabhupada and take Prabhupada's instructions as our life and soul. Then that is the faith that leads us to get the bhav, which is interesting. Get the bhav. So that's the faith that leads us to get the bhav. And in Prabhupada's own example and pastimes, we see that Prabhupada had that implicit faith in the order of his spiritual master. I mean, that's why Prabhupada was the one to come to the West, in spite of other disciples getting the same instruction that Srila Prabhupada had gotten. From Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada took that as his life and soul. And said, therefore, I mean, because Prabhupada is an interested devotee, I know that. But, you know, there's many aspects of his pastimes where he's displaying to us the process of becoming Krishna conscious. I mean, Prabhupada is showing us about renunciation. And Krishna takes everything away from him. As we were reading, I don't know if I've read for the devotees here, this Vrindavan Bhajan where Prabhupada talks about extreme renunciation, how Krishna has taken everything away from him. So Prabhupada, by his pastimes, even though he's an absolutely pure devotee, Nityasiddha devotee, is displaying things that we can relate to. You know, that's the pure devotee. Like Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya came to teach like a teacher. A teacher may ask a rhetorical question. Rhetorical question means the teacher knows the answer. Just like the teacher may say, class, how much is one and one? Obviously, if the teacher doesn't know how much one and one is, then he probably has worse Alzheimer's disease I've ever heard of. If he can't, you understand. But that's rhetorical. It's called a rhetorical question. So Prabhupada is acting rhetorically to teach us in many cases. So Prabhupada is showing us that of that absolute faith in the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to preach in the West, in spite of having absolutely no facility, no money, no nothing. I mean, it was actually an impossibility from the materialistic perspective. But he had that faith. So that's really the point. And if you have that faith, then you get the bhav. And if you get the bhav, then you get the vairagya. Vairagya doesn't come first. It's the faith. Remember that. I mean, even Rupa Goswami talks about this and in his famous quote, Adal Shraddha Shraddha comes first. Sadhu Sangota Bhajana. Anyway, so this is really the point for us too, to have that implicit faith in Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then everything Yasha Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi Tatakuru. Tashyate Katitari Arta Prakashante Mahatmana. That's a verse from, of course, from the Vedic literatures, that one has that implicit faith in the words of the pure devotee. Not only the philosophical words, but the practical instructions, but the practical example. Then everything's and in the Vedic literatures, that's what the verse says. If one has faith in the spiritual master, Tasha Devi Tatakuru. In the Vedic literatures and the spiritual message, then everything is revealed to one automatically. So that's really the secret of success in spiritual life. And Prabhupada and other pure devotees are so merciful that, just referring to the verse here, they don't wait until we've executed many, many births and the results of our pious activities mature. Because they'd have to wait a long time for that to happen. I mean, pure devotees and Prabhupada's caliber give us Krishna consciousness even before we've executed any pious activities or anything's matured, except for our impious activities are pretty mature. I mean, this is actually Srila Prabhupada's mood. The pure devotees of that caliber, you know, the highest caliber, and Krishna consciousness. And then we get the opportunity to associate with them, but it's a question of how we take that association that determines how quickly we advance in Krishna consciousness, how quickly we become detached from the material world, and prasanatma, like Prabhupada quotes this verse in the Gita, how quickly we become fully joyful. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. That means to, Brahma-bhuta means to understand you're not the body, basically. To understand you're Brahman or spirit. And at that point, you're not hankering or lamenting for anything, and you're equal poised, and then you enjoy it, and you take up devotional service, mad bhakti in labhate ram. So any questions or comments, these are all some of the points we can derive.
Yesterday somebody came to me and said, why are you not showing Radharani's feet? I said, I'm not allowed to.
Yes.
Is that a GBC rule?
It's not a GBC rule. However, I did consult the Didi worship minister about it. And I asked him, and he's a very educated person. He's actually a good friend of mine. He lives in Australia. And it's a GBC rule. We're supposed to follow GBC directions. So I consulted the GBC Didi worship minister about it. And also Gaur Keshav and so many other people. And they said there's no Shastric injunction about celebrating Gopashtami in that particular way. There's nothing in the Shastra. Mayapur and Vrindavan, they may have a particular bhava. I'm not denying that. I'm not criticizing anyone else, but we don't do it. And I am very reluctant personally to get into these intimate things about Radha and Krishna in a public way like that. To me, Srimati Radharani is so exalted, and her Radha Kund is so exalted. I'm very cautious about these things, and then just opening this up to the public like that in Hillsborough, North Carolina. I mean, I understand in Braj, and there may be a certain mood there, but Hillsborough, North Carolina, who is Srimati Radharani at her lotus feet? I mean, I think that we've lost a lot of our sense of awe and reverence Like Prabhupada said that we worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. I mean, they are Radha and Krishna, obviously. But in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. And I'm just wondering if that deviates us from that particular mood. When we just get into this, you know, Radhe, 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 Radhe stuff. And this has actually occurred after Prabhupada left this world. You know, it's not a criticism of any other temple that does it. I'm just following the proper authority that Prabhupada wanted us to follow. And my mood is better to err on the side of caution. Anyway, someone else may have a different mood, but I'm very, very cautious about these things. Especially when dealing with Srimati Radharani. I mean, I've resolved, even when I go to Radha Kund, just to take a bath by taking a loda and pouring it over my head. And I'm not criticizing anyone who does any different, but that's my devotional mood. All glories to His Divine Grace. Shubhau Bhad, Shubhau Bhad, Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur.